This is Kayla McTavish.
And Allie Myers.
And we're doing a podcast on Into the Wild and Chris McCandless.
Today our topic is about Chris McCandless from the book Into the Wild by John Krakauer. The basic plot of the book is that Chris decides to go into the wild at the age of 24 in Alaska, and he leaves everything behind, like civilization, because he has a very distaste for like the government and everything around him that's been happening.
So we're going to start with the question, what does it mean to be a rebel?
So when doing my research and my evidence finding of this question, I looked up the standard definition of what a rebel is, and it actually says it's a person who rises in opposition or armed resistance against an established government or ruler. So I guess in a society, a rebel could basically mean someone who rejects and displays rejection of the society. I know in like Into the Wild, Chris McCandless like just really hated society all of a sudden. He never really liked to follow rules. One of those really big examples was when he trespassed a sign in a national park that said like, oh, you can't like go past this point, and he did it anyways, and then he ended up ditching his car, which is also illegal, stripped it of his license, and just didn't listen to the basic rules.
I think he didn't really think about it because he was like, you know what? I don't care about rules. I don't care about what other people think. I'm going to do my own thing. And he didn't really think about like, oh, I shouldn't leave my car here. It's a trash.
Yeah. But to like really go back to like, what does it mean to be a rebel? I think it's kind of a personal thing, but there's also like a universal facade of like what a rebel is. Yeah. Like somebody who just does the opposite of what is told, or like purposely doesn't want to listen to somebody and just goes against that. Usually it's in, you know, rebellious ways because it's a rebel. And so he just like kind of pushes away anybody who tells him what to do, or like purposely and forcefully makes it clear that they don't want to follow the rules, like they don't want to be controlled, whether or not those rules are good or not for them.
Yeah, makes sense. Like, what's a good example? So like, there's those kids like in the classroom that like go against everything, like the teacher like asks them to, like, oh, can you like be quiet, can you guys stop talking, like boys in our class, like they're kind of like rebels because they're like, you know what, like screw you, like I'm not gonna do what you want me to do. It's kind of like how Chris was, and he like really didn't care about what other people thought about him and how he saw things in his point of view. He was like, I'm gonna do what I want to do, you could do whatever you want to, but I'm just gonna go against that. It's basically what he did.
So some like textual evidence I found was from Civil Disobedience, when the writer says, all men recognize the right of revolution, that is the right to refuse alliance to and to resist the government when its tyranny or its inefficiency are great and unendurable. So Chris obviously, like on numerous amount of times, he just did not find the government to be useful or as a necessity to him. And because that, he thought it was justifiable to go against it. So I think that's why, I mean, obviously he read the Civil Disobedience, and that was a main drive for him. So like with that idea in place, he like, that's why he was rebellious.
Yeah, it seemed like a recurring trend in like all the stories that was in this book, especially where they're trying to relate to Chris, was that they were really like not for the government a lot. They were kind of going against it and being like, you know what? The government doesn't have control over me. That's kind of like what Chris did a lot. He was, every person I swear he met in that book was, he's always like, well, I don't like the government, and I don't like this about the government. I think that's where he got it from.
Yeah, and to like go back to the car thing, the more direct quote was like, with the battery dead, there was no way to get the Datsun running, so if he hoped to get the car back, to a paved road, which he ended up not. McCandless had no choice but to walk out and notify the authorities of his predicament if he went to the Rangers. However, they would have had some irksome questions for him, like why had he ignored posted regulations and driven down the wash in the first place? Was he aware that the vehicle's registration had expired in 2 years before that he had not been renewed? So, like, he knew of the consequences, and because of that, he was like, okay, well, either way, I can get in trouble, or either way, I'm going to have to be involved in the government. So he was like, I guess the only way out of this is just to, like, ditch the whole situation, like, completely, and just, like, leave not it. Deal with it. Yeah.
Nah, I ain't doing this today.
So our next question is, what is the relationship between self and society? So each person technically has a different relationship with themselves and society. A typical stereotype for Americans is that everyone gets an education, like for say that a high school diploma or a college graduate, which is part of the American dream, is to have that and then a job after those. And it just kind of shapes you into being perceived as
a successful American.
Like, put together and, like, you know, pursuing your dreams, even if it's something that you don't want to do.
Yeah. And I think another thing is, like, having a lot of money has always been, like, a weird, like,
concept.
Yeah. Like, oh, I need a lot of money to mean that I'm successful, and also, like, fame. Like, celebrities have their, like, own society within society because they're, like, all friends and they, like, date each other and stuff. But, so, like, for instance, their relationship with society is, like, more about, like, social status and, like, how high they are. Whereas, like, a person who just works a daily job, their connection is just, like, oh, I'm just trying to get by so I can provide for my family or provide for myself. So it's like a really personal thing.
Money is definitely something that really is in the American dream. Like, everybody wants to become rich and famous and all that, when, like, really you don't need to do that. You don't need money to buy yourself ridiculous things to be happy. And, like, happiness is not bought, it is found.
Yeah, so I think Chris really took that into account because he did have $40,000 for grad school. So, like, in the book it says the final 2 years of his college education had been paid for with a $40,000 request left by a friend of the family's. More than $24,000 remained at the time Chris's graduation, and the money his parents thought he would have intended for law school. Then his dad later on went on to say, well, apparently we were wrong. And so Chris, you know, donated this money instead to a charity, Oxfam, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And so he just thought, like, oh, well, I don't need, like, money to do what I want to do.
Did he burn it?
Yeah, like, I think, yeah.
The money that he had with him, he, like, lit it on fire and was like, well, there you go.
At least the money that, like, he personally had when he was going to go into the wild, that's the money that he burned. No, he did not burn, like, $24,000.
No, that would be horrible.
Yeah. So our next question, which is kind of a difficult question, was how do we construct identity through our actions, interests, and values and beliefs?
So basically our identity is by our actions, interests, values, and beliefs, because it just forms you of who you are. As, like, an example from the book, I used a quote that said, but, and then Everett and McCandless, at least they tried to follow their dream. That's what was great about them. They tried, not many do. And
I think that quote kind of goes with the idea that, like, Chris was really a carefree person. He did have an attitude towards people who tried to force him to do what he didn't want to do, but that, like, he was that person of, like, oh, I don't want limits. He didn't want limits and expectations put on him that he personally did not want to reach. And that's what, like, made him himself, because he's like, I want to be my own person. And he was, like, a lover of nature, which also, like, nature does what it wants to do. Like, nobody tells it what to do.
Nature's got no rules.
Yeah.
It grows where it wants to.
Yeah.
And another example that I think about is in the epilogue when his mom and his dad went with Krakauer to the place where Chris was staying in that bus, and they're both like, oh, I can see why Chris liked this, because like his whole personality and stuff was just a seeker of nature and like peace and quiet and like being free.
Our last and final question is McCandless admirable or disgraceful?
What I think is that he's kind of both. Like, I admire him for how he went and did what he wanted to and didn't follow, like, nobody's rules. But also, he didn't really think about, like, how people would impact if he actually died, which he did. Spoiler alert. But he didn't really think about that. And he didn't really think about, like, food, and he didn't pack right. It's kind of just not really smart how he did what he did.
Yeah, so one of the articles that I read for that separate article in class was, it's Craig Madred, I think his name is.
Madred?
I don't know exactly how to pronounce that, but, and it's examining Chris McCandless 20 years after he went into the wild. And this article I noticed is just full of, like, hate against Chris McCandless, like, how much of an idiot he was, and, like, it was just, like, kind of not great. It was really biased for being an article, like a news article. But it said, like, abandon your family for no reason, ditch your car in the desert, burn or bury your money for reasons unclear, stop bathing because it's too much trouble. There are people just like McCandless living on the streets of Anchorage today, which are true, is true, but, like, it's really interesting how, like, Chris McCandless got, like, all this attention. So, like, I personally believe that, like, Chris isn't necessarily disgraceful, but, like, what he did and how he did it can be, because he really just didn't think through, like you said, like, he didn't prepare correctly. He just did it thinking he was invincible, inspired by, like, these books that are, you know, not like true stories that, like, just can't physically happen. So basically, I just think that, like, he wasn't the only one that did it before, which doesn't make him necessarily the only one that's stupid. There's many people that can be considered stupid, but, like, he had a passion, he went through it. It might not have been the greatest idea, but, you know, he could be admired for what he did and disgraced because of how he did it.
I think people just attack Chris because he did end up how people don't want to end up in his situation. It's like, he did die, and he did, you know, he did write about it, he did take pictures and everything, but he got lucky the first few times he was out in the nature, but he didn't think about, like, oh, I actually need to think about this before I do it.
Yeah. So to wrap up this podcast, so basically, we believe in the idea that a rebel is someone who goes against other people's rules and judgments. Relationships between self and society is really determined by, like, where you're at, where you live, and who you are.
Exactly. And then, how you construct identity through actions, interests, and values is really different through other people's eyes, because everybody sees things and does things differently than one another.
And then Chris McCandless is admirable but disgraceful, because what he did could be admirable, but how he did it can be considered disgraceful.